This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9.
Progress, and we're running out of time and we're low on health packs.
Wait, I have an idea.
We did it!
Our game's been saved, but it's dangerous to go alone.
Welcome to Checkpoint, your favourite video game show.
Yes, here on another episode of Checkpoint Special Podcast Edition this week, as Joy is up in Mardi Gras, but we still have some amazing content to get through with you guys. I'm Luke. I'm joined by Elliot.
Howdy, howdy.
By Rachel.
Hey, hey.
And by Tom.
Ahoy, hoy.
And so doing things a little bit differently this week, but we had to do a show because there's a lot of news that's come up this week.
So much stuff.
So we've got new game announcements. We've got a console launching this week, a Nintendo Switch. New games, retailers. It's all happening. So there's lots to talk about. Before we get stuck into all the nitty gritty, though, we are going to start how we always do with a bit of a what are you playing at the moment. I'll throw to you first, Elliot. What are you playing right now?
Yeah, so I've got my hands on Tides of Numenera, which is what has been occupying a lot of my time.
Torment, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Torment, Tides of Numenera. Sorry.
That's all right.
Got to say the full title. Be exact.
I was yeah. like, what is that?
Well, now no, I'm going to have the Manamana song stuck in my head.
No.
But yeah, a good game. Quite different to what I thought it would be, actually. It's very, very much narrative and dialogue driven, which I think Torment fans probably would have expected, but I never grew up with the old Torment game, so I didn't quite know what to expect going in.
Right.
But it's very well written, like really well written. You're reading a book basically playing this game.
Oh wow.
I know.
They've really fleshed it out and
it
really
Yeah, like it has everything.
Okay.
I've had one fight in the 10 hours I've played.
Wow.
One combat. The rest I've managed to avoid through dialogue and persuasion or just making the right decisions.
Okay, so you could have had more fights had you made different choices on that path. Is that right?
I could have probably had a few more. Now, I'm still in the quest, like in the what I like to call the quest grind of the first town, which happens in all these old school RPGs.
Yeah.
Where you get to the first town and there's like 30 quests you can do and you're running back and forth and talking to characters. And
yep.
So a lot of that's going on. But I definitely have avoided a few fights by my crafty words.
Crafty. That sounds like you. So I totally buy that. Rachel, what are you playing at the moment?
I'm playing a lot of For Honor. Like,
yep.
I'm really, really hitting For Honor hard. It's so good and so frustrating at the same time. And
frustrating because of the game or because of the connection issues in the game?
Not the game, the connection issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, the game is really good. It's a solid game. It's just the connection issues.
It's such a shame, isn't it, when you have such an ace product and then there's something like connection issues, which any game could have theoretically, and for whatever reason, it's just... This one is full of them, and it's so bad. I mean, I know, Tom, you are so frustrated.
Yeah,
like,
I have this whole diatribe on this, because, I mean, they're sort of trying. I've noticed there has been some changes in the system where I'm getting less match dropouts, but more, like, stuttering in games.
Yeah.
And that's not better. Like, it's a difference, but it's not better.
It's like, it's no worse, but it's no better.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. And yeah. I'm also playing a lot of Pokemon Go, which I convinced Elliot to join me in.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Gen 2.
Yeah.
I busted it out alongside Rachel. Yeah, I mean, it is more Pokemon Go.
It's more of the same. I did bring it up again. I downloaded it again when it changed with the updates and stuff. So I have gone back into it myself, and I am seeing more and more people again on trains and stuff playing it. It won't last, though. I give it like another 2 weeks, and everyone will be back into like, oh, well, it's just more Pokemon, and now I've caught the cute ones and I wanted to catch, and I'm done again.
There's still a dedicated fan base for that game, I think, that didn't stop playing.
I think it's had over 600 million downloads or something now. It's like ridiculous. So, you know.
But how many of them is just people like downloading it, being like, oh, that's right, deleting it, and then going back, going like, oh, download it again. Oh, that's right.
Or like when iTunes like accidentally re-downloads things and you're like, no, I didn't want to re-download that. You just delete it straight away.
Oh, when you've
away.
Done like an update. And
Yeah, maybe it's that. Maybe that's
but
part of it.
No, Gen 2, it's got Wobbuffet.
What about
we
you?
We did catch a Wobbuffet.
Tom, what have you been playing? I don't want to talk about Pokemon anymore. I'm done with Pokemon. Tom, what have you been playing at the moment?
Well, you know, I've been such a legit gamer, I've given myself a repeat strain injury.
Oh.
So, yeah, I've been laid up and not allowed to use my Xbox lately. So
nice. Except, handicapped.
Yeah. But... with so many games coming out this month, it probably doesn't hurt to
rest up,
have some downtime and, you know, let my body sort of get into fighting form, because there's plenty coming.
I wasn't sure if it was maybe an excuse that you didn't want to play For Honor with us because
I've
much
been
better than you.
Gagging for it. Okay, prestige levels of you two, come on.
Prestige?
KD ratio, give us something.
Oh, okay, well, I've been getting every character I really enjoy to prestige one at least, and then I've been moving on to the next one. But I'm going to focus on getting my Peacekeeper now.
What's your KDR, though?
I haven't actually looked.
Mine's 1.7.
I think
mine's
look.
Just below at about 1.66.
Yeah, there you go.
But I'm doing just fine.
We'll see when you come back online next week.
Bad,
any
is
day
that?
Now.
I should look. I should focus on these things.
Well, the game doesn't focus on it much either. So it's only a stat that you have to go to a different menu to find.
Yeah,
so really,
there's
no
big. Our own like pissing contest.
Let's
right
be
here.
Real. You
exactly.
Just run away from fights anyway. So
what?
Having a low death ratio.
Are we talking real life or
I'm
in the
talking
game?
About For Honor.
In real life, yes. 100%.
I run for no fight. I run in and steal other people's fights. I'm a peacekeeper. I'm an assassin.
I've actually become that dick who has started reporting griefing because I'm sick of it. People are going to learn to play this game or get out.
One of those
to
people.
To be fair, I do stand back and wait until someone needs
oh,
help.
That's
oh,
that's fine.
No.
That's strategy.
Yeah.
That's
is that
fine.
Real strategy?
But yes.
In For Honor,
yeah,
honor
no,
that.
For Honor it is. There's okay. Like a code of honor.
Running off yeah. The minute that there's another opponent and then trying to like run up behind someone to
2-on-1
yeah,
no.
Them, that's a cheap move.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
That's
not
a
okay.
Total nasty move. Like, I had another word, but I wasn't going to use
yeah, exactly.
It.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what I've been playing, guys. I managed to get my hands on Horizon Zero Dawn. After all this time, finally got a chance to play it. I know I've been hyped about this game since they announced it at E3 almost 2 years ago. Finally put about, I don't know, 7 hours into it last night. Just played it nonstop, trying to get my fix. before I give it to Archer to review.
I was about to say, because like, I don't want to step on any toes here, but I've been seeing some mixed reactions. I think it looks glorious.
Look, and it does.
It looks beautiful.
It's a gorgeous game. Like, it's such a well-crafted game. You can see every detail is so perfect and spot on. Even the little character beats that she has. It's just a really amazing game. However, it has quite quickly, I will say, dipped into the open world fetch quest structure.
Running simulator?
Sort of.
Like, I see just a lot of just running around the landscape.
It is. And even to fast travel, you have to like get materials to fast travel. You can't just do it. It becomes easier later once you have the materials. But at the start, I was like, how do I fast travel? And I like Googled it, right? And it's like, oh, you need to have the fast travel pack or whatever, like a backpack. And to do that, you had to get meat. So I had to go and like shoot some creatures and get meat from them and make a pack. And then I could fast travel. But by that point, I was like, I'm just going to walk. Yeah. I don't care anymore. So I do really like it. It's my initial thoughts. I do think it's really fun. I want to play more of it, but it has quite quickly been like open world. Oh, my daughter is over there being attacked by some creatures. Can you go and save her? And then she's like, oh, you saved me, but that monster has my mother's thing. Can you go and get the thing from the monster? And you go and like find the monster and hunt it down.
What is this trash family and are they worth saving?
Oh, probably not. NPCs in video games are always the most, like, helpless people ever.
At a certain point, like, Darwinism just comes into effect.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah. Just
you're absolutely broken,
like,
Luke.
It's true, though. Like, what are they doing? Like, what? How did it even happen? Like, I just now thinking about it. I'm like, you dumb bitch. I can't do it. But look, I think it's really cool. I like it. Whether it's worth the massive amount of hype, I don't know yet. But, I mean, it's so far so good. And my first night of playing, I really enjoy it. So, a full review of Horizon Zero Dawn will be on the show next week. So, stay tuned for that one. With all that being said, guys, it is time for the news.
With the games industry changing so often, it can be hard to keep up.
So, it's time to get updated with your weekly news checkpoint.
It's time to get updated indeed. And a few big ticket items this week in the news. Going to kick it off with a sequel announcement, which has gotten me just frothing at the mouth. I'm so excited. It's the sequel to Middle-earth Shadow of Mordor, Shadow of War, or as Elliot called it, Shadow of Wardor.
Shadow of Wardor. That's
Look, I think that should be the official title because it sounds so good.
Which I think is great. But it's a sequel. 2014, the original came out, so it's going to be 3 years between drinks for this one. And it was originally leaked by Target. In the US.
That was a hell of a faux pas. It was not even just like a title or anything. They gave full detail.
It was the box art. It was the information about the game and the Nemesis system coming back. It was all these bits of info. Of course, Target quite quickly realized the error and took it down. But then Warner Brothers just went all in the next day and were like, all right, well, it's been announced informally. So here's a trailer. Here's the details. Here's all the information you need to know.
I wonder how much longer they were going to hold on to that because it... August it's releasing?
August is not far away.
That's not that far away.
No.
Well, I mean, I did notice that this is one of the ones that they're sort of hyping around the Project Scorpio. So it could have just been that they were trying to hold off to sort of package it up a bit.
That's right.
But I will recognise that this is one of the titles that Luke did predict when we were doing E3 coverage from last year.
Yes.
And you're surprised that there wasn't an
announcement
there.
I was shocked
there.
They didn't
and
announce so, it at E3.
It's not far off.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it makes sense as a sequel. I mean, the original game, it sold really well, commercially speaking, but also it was critically acclaimed. I mean, I called it my game of the year that year, but I mean, across the board, it got high scores. The Nemesis system, for those who don't know what that is, it was a system where if you... were killed by a character, you'd get resurrected. So an orc would kill you, you'd get resurrected and keep playing, right? Like most games, you'd come back to life. But what would happen is that orc would remember that he'd killed you. So you'd go and you'd find him again somewhere out in the battlegrounds, and you'd find him again, and it would zoom in on his face, and he'd be like, ah, you've come back for more. And you'd be like, oh no. And then he'd be stronger because he'd killed you before.
It was a really, really good system. And it made you want to track down these orcs and take them out one by one, particularly the ones that are, like, tormenting you and going, ha-ha, I killed you.
Yeah. And there were some really classic orc lines, like, stupid, like, I will eat your face like it's a lolly. And you're like, what? Like, it was some stupid stuff. But, like, something about the Nemesis system and just it remembering what you'd done and remembering who you'd killed and that sort of stuff that really gave every battle this extra weight. And it was this fantastic system. Great idea. Like, there's not enough new ideas like this in games that just completely blow you away.
And see, that's the funny thing, because with Shadow of Mordor, it was a title that I skipped over because I honestly just presumed it was going to be another sort of sideline title of a big franchise, the whole Lord of the Rings thing. And so I just, you know, a lot of those sorts of titles, they don't necessarily have to put that much work into or give anything new.
Yeah.
They just sort of put a facelift on an old system.
Yeah.
So it is good to see that they've actually added something that's meaningful. And because that story is already locked in, it gives them more room to play around with those sorts of
That's
systems.
Right. And they're going to expand on it more in the new one. So they've announced details that in the Shadow of War, they'll actually have followers as well who can assist you in battle and who will even expand on that nemesis system even further. So, I mean, I am super excited about this. August 25th, mark it in your calendars. That's the date it's coming out here in Australia. And I already want it. Like, I want to play it tomorrow. I can't wait 6 months. Like, it's not happening.
Nudge, nudge.
Warner Brothers, talk to me. Talk to my people. now, there was, of course, the Switch comes out. You'll be hearing this podcast after it launches, but we're recording this now. It comes out tonight in the midnight launch around Australia, the Nintendo Switch, new console. And earlier in the week, they did a special Nintendo Direct where they discussed a lot of the titles coming to the Switch in their...
Nindy Showcase.
Nindy's
Why did you make
showcase.
Me say it? You know I didn't want to say it.
That's why I made you
Nindy's.
Say it.
Nindy's. Like, they can, like, trademark that.
You know your place.
Come on.
Nindies. The Nindies Showcase. They announced a few titles, including Stardew Valley, which came out last year on PC. Very popular little game. Has come to other consoles since then. But they've done some multiplayer co-op for the Switch version.
Yeah, so they've talked about multiplayer for a long time, probably a year now. They've said multiplayer's coming. It's only one guy developing this game, so that is a long development process.
Yeah, that's work.
He finally announced as part of this Nindy Showcase that Stardew Valley is coming to the Switch. The Switch will be the first console to have cooperative play on Stardew, but PC will still get it first because we're better. So,
yeah, right, no PC Master Race. Well, they announced
easy.
They announced a few other games as well. So, SteamWorld Dig 2, and even one that I know Tom loves, Overcooked.
Love Overcooked. I am not getting a Switch myself, but any excuse for people to play Overcooked is a good thing.
And I mean, this is one of those games where you can really, from what I've said, I haven't played it myself, but it really would work with the portable Switch functionality
perfectly,
as well.
Perfectly, yeah, because with the Xbox version, people can use the same controller in the most awkward, like, side-holding positioning you could ever imagine. So, because it really only needs a control stick and a single, maybe two buttons. So, yeah, perfect for the Nintendo's new little... What are these?
Joy-Cons,
that's it.
Yeah. And I think the Switch is going to reopen that for games that have already been released. I mean, you sort of think, these games have been out for a while on other platforms. Who really cares? But the idea of having these high-quality games and having them portable... and then playing them with friends portably as well, it does add a new level of intrigue. I mean, I know that I Am Setsuna, which is an RPG that came out late last year on PlayStation 4, that's coming out on the Switch as a launch title. And I didn't get a chance to play it on PlayStation 4 yet. I still sort of was waiting for a sale or something. But now I'm thinking, actually, you know what? That sort of game, I can really see myself playing on the train or, you know, in a break between classes at school and stuff like that. I can see myself wanting to play a high-quality game like that on a portable platform. So I think the Switch is going to breathe new life into these games.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean,
have you got your battery pack ready to go, though? I mean, that's the real thing.
Not yet. Not yet. But, I mean, over 170 games so far announced for the Switch, something like that. So, I mean, they're definitely doubling down.
Oh, they needed
down.
It. Thank God for the Nindies, because before their launch and the year following, there wasn't much going on, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, a few big things, but not that much more. But then they did their Nindies, and then they've released, like 100 other games that are also coming to the Switch. It's like, okay, good.
Definitely good to see. Yeah. Good to see there's a future plan, not just a day one plan, and then it's like, like the Wii U. Xbox have announced a new subscription service known as Xbox Game Pass, which many are coining, including myself, the Netflix for Xbox games, where you'll be able to pay a subscription fee of about $10 a month. We don't know the Australian price yet, but it'll be around probably $12, $13 a month. Australian, to play over 100 games from the Xbox One and Xbox 360 backwards compatibility library. Unlike a service where you stream the game online, in this case you'll be able to download the games fully as if you've paid for them at full price and then play them at your leisure.
So it's more like old school Netflix. Because, like, isn't the PlayStation service more like Netflix? Because that's an actual streaming one.
Yeah,
like,
but you don't even have that over here. We don't even have access to that.
Oh, okay. Well, there
it's
you
crazy,
go.
Crazy, right? Because of the licensing
I'm so
agreements.
In the know. I'm right on top of that.
Well,
things.
It should be. It's ridiculous that it's not. But you're right. The PlayStation one, PlayStation Now, I think it's called, is a streaming one. So you are streaming the game as you play it.
I honestly don't think Australian internet could hold up to
and
it.
And that's partly why.
Crash. Yeah. We'd drop down and spiral.
And so, you know, these services do actually intrigue me. There was one thing, though. I mean, I was looking at it, it's like, ooh, 100 games. You know, there's a lot of games. And then I saw the posters up around for it and saw games like Banjo-Kazooie and the other ones from the Rare Arcade Pack.
Right.
Were sort of listed as individual games. And I'm like, well, that's like 35 right there. So, like, if they're going to do it that way, I'll wait and see how many proper titles are in there.
Yeah.
But I could definitely see the benefit of it because... you know, if you buy something, you know, a lot of games don't necessarily hold their value that well after release, but some do. And so if you get that chance to sort of play around with extra titles for what you'd be spending anyway.
That's right. And if you can go back and play a game that you maybe missed, like a Halo 5 or even like a Dark Souls 3 or something like that, you know, there's definitely a possibility for this to be really successful. I don't think I would use it because I already play so many games that are coming out now that I probably don't have time to go back and play more of the older ones. But I think, like you said, for people that don't buy a lot of games, they might only buy one game every few months, to then pay around $10 a month and have access to this full library. Oh, what should I play this weekend? Oh, I haven't played that before. Download it. You've got it. Easy. No need to go to a store. No need to pay for a $50 commitment on a digital price of a game. You've just got it with this streaming service.
Yeah, and it is very similar to the EA Access one, which I jumped on for a while. I didn't stick with it for the same sort of reason where, because we review games and because we're sort of always jumping around, there's just no need. But, you know, if you just sort of tended to like the sports titles but wasn't really sure where to go with, it's a chance to play around and find your niche before, like, settling into a genre.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think this will work, Elliot? You love your downloads and your streaming services and stuff. Your PC boy.
I don't know about that, but yeah, definitely it'll work, especially if we get it here in Australia because there's not that much competition.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of a key thing for our market. But yeah, no, as you were saying, like the EA Access, I jumped on that too. And a lot of people really like that service because there are some good games on offer there.
Yeah.
I was playing Dragon Age Inquisition, for instance, which I had never played previously.
Such
and it's
good
always
game.
Good to like dip back into those things.
Well, the benefit of the Access, though, is also you get to play games early before they release, too, right? So new release games come through that sometimes, too, don't they?
As like demos and stuff. So they've got like a limited time demo.
So I think Xbox, if they're smart about it, they'll have some exclusive cool stuff that others don't have, you know what I mean? Like,
but also the fact
release.
That EA is there first, hopefully they're going to have to try to one-up it. It is their home console and their home, like, developer doing it. So don't half-ass it, Microsoft.
Very true indeed. Now, another one this week that's a bit large, well, could be anyway. Ubisoft has announced that the developer of The Division, Massive Entertainment, is working on a game based on the world of James Cameron's Avatar. So these are like the blue alien people thing. that movie that came out like 10 years
Avatar.
Ago. No, not The Last Airbender, which I looked at and went, oh, is it? No.
That would be a great game, I'm just saying, because it's got so much possibility. Can we just have an airbending game,
please? Well, it wasn't a great movie, so...
No, forget the movie, give us a game.
Now, this is going to be built on the same engine as The Division, the Snowdrop engine. Kind of PC and consoles, but I mean, it's Ubisoft, right? So we're picturing it's an open world. You're going to play as a blue alien.
I like that there's already a prediction of exactly what this game is going
to
be.
Well, it has to be, doesn't it? It's not going to be a linear adventure where you go through a campaign. It's
obviously
going to be open
not,
world. There'll be side quests. There'll be like, I have to collect all the blue alien figurines.
You have to
or
get
whatever.
The unobtainium, Luke. That's what you get in
the
movie.
You're like a legit fan, aren't you?
Well, no, but I do remember because it was ludicrous. Like, the ore they were trying to get was called unobtainium. Like, how do you not remember that?
I'm going
to
point out here that Elliot's not seen Star Wars, but he remembers that there's unobtainium
in
Avatar.
Way to call me out.
I'm just pointing out a fact here, okay?
Well, so there'll be unobtainium quests, which is ridiculous, even as I say it. They'll be like, you know, you've got to climb to the top of the friggin' alien treehouse to unlock
the
area.
The
unobtainable alien treehouse.
Plug yourself into
the
tree.
Yeah, that'll probably be what it is, and that'll reveal more map. And,
that's right, and if I show you where all the hidden secrets are.
Well, I just have to double take on this, because yes, The Division was a success, but if it's the same developer I'm thinking of, which I'm sure it is, Massive Games, Massive Entertainment, they've also got this other title coming out the day after Mass Effect Andromeda, and it's called, like, Troll and I, and it looks rough. It looks real rough. It looks... get like that sort of over whitewashed cartoony style, but they haven't quite decided where they wanted to go with it. So this might be them acknowledging that, like, yeah, that title's not going to do so well. Let's move on.
Who knows? Next one. Maybe it's a different Massive. Maybe it's like a different Massive.
Well, that's what I was double checking, but yeah. I'm not sure. So
because that'd be a good chance if they can develop the division and then do the trial line, then do Avatar in like 3 years. That's huge. You know,
and
what
that
I mean?
Is a lot of development. But yeah, if anyone knows the answer, feel free to.
Let us know. Social media, Checkpoint on Joy94.9 on Facebook. One more news item this week. Elliot, you brought this to my attention. Twitch has started selling games.
They have.
Now, Twitch is a streaming service where you can play games online and people can watch you play, basically, right?
Yes.
So, I thought nothing of this at first. I was like, well, who cares? Like, Steam's got the PC market down pat. If another person, another company tries to sell games, it's no biggie, right?
Twitch is a big entity, though. Like, if Steam's going to get dethroned, which it won't, but if it was to get dethroned, it's going to be by a big entity. It's not going to be by these startup companies, which is what kind of has happened previously. Humble, GOG, Itch. All those stuff are kind of like startup companies, almost.
They're all kind of doing okay, though.
They're doing great, but they're niche. Yes. Comparative to Steam.
Absolutely.
Whereas Twitch, I'm presuming, is going to try to be as big as they can be. Mm.
Well, what made it interesting to me is we were talking about it before, and Twitch, the streamers who are playing the games, if you then click a button while you're watching their stream to buy the game they're playing, they get a 5% cut. The streamer gets a 5% cut of that purchase made via their channel.
Yeah, it's kind of icky, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That is the word.
Because it's merging those two. Like, you don't want the person you're viewing for their opinions, for their whatever. You don't want them to have some kind of gain.
The reality is with gaming media these days is that there are developing these vested interests. So there's something to be said for the fact that it's fairly upfront. You know exactly that they are directly benefiting off it rather than YouTube advertisers or sponsoring for doing, reviews or whatever else. So I at least appreciate that they're trying to put in some sort of system to be transparent in this thing, but I do think it's a vested interest. I mean, how can you really trust that they're going to be as critical as they could be if their criticism is more likely to put people off something where... And 5%'s not nothing. That's an all right fee.
If you have, like, a big enough viewer base, you are going to be making bank from 5% of all cuts.
Easily. Yeah.
On top of the bank, you're already making by being a big viewer base streamer, which is crazy.
And... possibly the reason I'm just a little bitter here is because in Australia, again, we're kind of locked out from streaming. I know there are a couple around, but if you don't have NBN, you're just not going to get that quality up. I've looked into it on ADSL, and even on the perfect ADSL connection, it's just not competing with everyone else on the international stage.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. I think it's a bit icky as well. I think, yeah, the opinions you're going to see aren't going to be the fair ones or the impartial ones that you'd normally expect from a streamer. Mm. If they're kind of raving about a game being really good and showing you this particularly really good moment or this really great level in a game, it's going to skew it. It's like an ad.
It's an ad that they don't have to say is an ad. Yeah. And that's kind of scary.
It essentially turns someone's stream into, but wait, there's more, and get these free steak knives. And, you know, order now, have this, have that. You know, it essentially turns everyone's stream into, you know, a buy commercial.
Mm. I think if a streamer did give me free steak knives, I'd probably invest.
I'm all about the steak knives.
Look, as long as they're good quality steak knives, I'm all for it.
Real quick, just before we move on, like, it's also interesting to think that giant streaming games such as Counter-Strike or League of Legends or Dota or Hearthstone, none of these are going to be on this service because
that's true.
I don't see Valve ever supporting it. I definitely don't see Riot supporting it. Why would they?
A lot of them are free to play, aren't they?
Yeah.
So there's no
purchase button.
Yeah, no, there's no retail purchase.
It'll be microtransactions and stuff as well.
Oh, yeah, well, exactly. Then that's getting real dirty.
Yeah.
All right.
Game bonuses and microtransactions? Ugh. Disgusting. What are you doing, Twitch? Get out of here.
How dare you give people an income?
That's been the news update for this week. I hope you got all the updates you needed from that. This has been Luke, Elliot, Rachel, and Tom here for Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.